Hello and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my husband, Roger Robbins, in the studio. And today we are going to be talking about a topic very near and dear to our hearts. We titled this today's episode, The Deep End, yes. Parenting Small Kids. And all this week is going to be about parenting, but we got real happy when we thought about this topic because we have used this term, the deep end, for many years.
Yes.
We have, our kids are now 7, 10, and 12, so we are out of the deep end, but we wanted to, this episode, just really encourage. That is the main goal,
yes.
Right? We just want to encourage new parents, parents with babies and toddlers who really are in what we call the deep end of parenting. So some of the things we want to go over in the show are just to encourage you in the value of kids, the value of having kids, and the benefits of it to the parents. Right. And then the importance of guarding your relationship with God individually, and then also guarding your marriage in these early years. The early years can be really difficult in that way. And then lastly, also just kind of give some warning and some tips at the end, things to be aware of and to watch out for, right?
Yes.
So why do we call it the deep end? I think if you have small children, you don't need us to answer this question.
You can just sit there and laugh.
You're like, yes, yes, it is.
Miserate.
Those early years, they can feel, I think the reason why we first thought of that term was because you just feel in over your head.
Yes.
The day that you get sent home with this little person and they just let you just take them home.
Hospital.
You're in the hospital. You've never had a human being to take care of before. And now they're like, you can go now.
And you will raise him.
And all the professionals there at the hospital just say goodbye and you put him in the car seat. And you feel, you could maybe, the way we felt, you could feel very much in over your head and overwhelmed by just the sheer newness of it. It's just so new.
Foreign.
Everything about it can feel fragile. Overwhelming because of just the newness. Mm-hmm. And I think we have three kids, and we can attest that that first kid is by far the most challenging. And I really think it just has to do with how new it is, because the second kid could still be difficult. Could still have a, you know, kid with food aversions or bad sleeping or any kind of health problems. But because you've already done it once, it doesn't quite have that same level of terror that the first one does. So if you're there with your first kid, just know that we see you and we are for you.
We're here.
Yeah.
As all of us encouraging. And that's what this time's going to be, right? Like, we're going to just encourage, speak truth from the Bible, speak truth as a community, as a church community, right? Like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
We all started this for our first time. We didn't go to school for it. We didn't get a diploma for it. But then we found out that our parents were right. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, all this time we thought we're going to do it our way. We're going to do it the right way.
Mm.
But then our parents were there for us. And then the people, I don't know, if you have a church you go to, you found someone to, you know, come alongside or mentor you, be a second mom, second dad.
Yeah.
Family you kind of like idolized or looked up to and been like, I want my kids to be like that. I'd love to be.
Mm-hmm. And then picture. The other side of that, like coming from a dysfunctional family, there are many I know who, when they become parents, they're coming out of maybe the mindset that, you know, I'm not going to do it the way my parents did. And I know I had the blessing of great parents, and I still have things I say, I'm not going to do it the way my parents did. And then there were situations over the years where I have found myself saying the exact same things my parents said to me when I was a kid. So there's a lot of there's a lot of different dynamics there. We just want to recognize that people yes. listening, you could be coming from all different perspectives and just experiences when it comes to parenting and your past and now how you're you know, looking at parenting your kids. So mm-hmm. we're going to do our best to not be so specific to our situation that
yes.
we're not applicable and not relatable, but also we do want people to just know that so many have gone before us and so many are doing this thing called parenting.
Yes.
And we did our best to try to take ourselves back to those early years. It's not been that long for us, so it didn't take too much, but I did ask my kids this morning at breakfast. I said, you know, we're going to do a show on parenting little kids, you know, today. What do you think that they should know about? And Hazel, my 10-year-old, said, how to change a diaper. And I was like, wow, I'm going to write that down.
Duly noted. Thank you, Hayes.
And I will say that you were amazing with diapers. Early yes. on, you were like, this is something I can do.
Some dads are clean freaks, and they're like really able to just be like, let's just deal with this right now. I'll do everything here. I'll even take out the trash and restack the diapers.
Diaper genie. Yeah.
Oh man, I was like my best friend.
Mm-hmm. So you did that. You owned that. It was great.
We got small parenting. I mean, small kids parenting small kids. Excuse me.
Great parenting.
Yeah,
that's what we had.
It starts off small, and and it, one of the things that we came up with that I think we set off into just this whole new world is a brave new world, really, is the value of it all, the yeah. value of kids. And that was something that I think we want to just outline for you guys today is like, even though we're in the deep end and even though you guys we're underwater, we're overwhelmed, we're treading water, we yeah. kind of like maybe don't see the land in sight, that doesn't mean that there isn't land or that, you know, I won't be able to learn to swim or there isn't purpose and meaning.
Yeah.
There definitely is.
Yes.
And we all know that. I mean, the moment we hold that child in our arms. Mm. However, you know, life is a journey. Life is long. Life is equated with many years. And that's a beautiful thing. But in that, it's like there's many moments where we lose the value or lose the purpose of it, right?
Yeah.
And so thankfully we have the Bible. And for those who like have put their trust in Christ, when we look at him, we discover value and meaning for ourselves. And then when it comes time to like have kids, value, like, and I think one term that we sometimes reflect on is embracing what has happened.
Yeah.
And because value and purpose and meaning aren't truly discovered until we just take a hold of it and look at it. And in a way, as moms and dads, we own it.
Mm-hmm.
We just embrace this for what it is. And I think that's why maybe Hazel said like changing diapers. Cause like, how real is that? Like holding, you know, not yeah. to be too descriptive, but just holding this dirty diaper and like just hands are in there. Like we're all in, we're yeah. dedicated. We care, you know, like where's the cream and like, you know, like whatever's
the
going
cream,
on.
So many creams.
And all the things that we become aware of because yes. we buy in.
Well, and isn't it also like that buy-in is important because the nature of the work is that it's unsung. You know, it's like the unsung heroes, right?
Yes.
That changing a diaper it's gross. it's repetitive because you have to do it a lot in a day, especially in those early months. It's insane how many diapers you go through. So there's like this monotony.
It
can feel very mundane. Yeah. Nobody's appreciating it. You know, the baby's not saying thank you. So
right.
you're really doing a lot of work that feels tedious. It feels repetitive.
Unnoticed.
And with very little reward.
Yes.
And I think that for moms and dads, buying into the truth mm-hmm. that what you are doing, no matter how monotonous, no matter how gross, no matter how unseen, that it has incredible value because this is a this is work that's been given to you by God. And I think maybe for men it could be more of a challenge, we were talking about this, than for women, for mothers, to buy into that, because it can feel like, okay, maybe I have a career, I have a successful professional life.
Yes.
And really the only thing that this little person is doing is messing with that.
Right. Because for a man, like, he's like, I go to work and I'm going to crush it today.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the money.
I'm going to feel valuable and meaningful.
I earn that by doing my effort and doing my skill, my trade. And, mm-hmm. and when I come home, it's like, in a way, lowering that value and like having to like humble yourself to go to a level that you're like, you know, in a day you could, as a husband, you did a lot at work. Like, you checked off a lot of boxes, a lot of things moved at the click of your mouse or at the like swing of your hammer. You know what I mean? Many things happened.
Yes.
But when you come home to do those things for this new reality, this new purpose, this precious child, it does not move that way. Right. Mm. And again, like, I think we laugh about it. Like, how funny is it that like early on, there's such important things that need to be done to the child that only the parents can do, but yet the child cannot say a word.
Yeah.
Like, I remember just
little gross
months and months
needy
of that.
Things. Yes.
And you know, I love a good, you know, like, hey, great job.
Yeah.
You know, thanks
words
for doing
that. Words of affirmation.
That, right? The words of affirmation. It's a love language.
Yep.
But that child is not giving it to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of like go through that today. Like, let's like in these couple minutes like here just to like dissect that, and we're going to move through that.
Yeah.
That value.
That's why it's so important to buy into this, to own this, both the mother and the father, because if only one of you buys in, it usually, I mean, no offense, but usually it's the mother, right?
Yes.
She's the one who has grown the baby, birthed the baby.
She has a connection.
She's nursing the baby, hopefully, or at least bottle feeding, whatever. She's waking up in the middle of the night. Usually she's the one staying home with maternity leave, and the husband goes back to work sooner. So that understanding of the value and importance of what you're doing, a mother could buy into that, but if the father is not equally in, that mother can very quickly become discouraged and lonely and resentful.
Right.
How many women, including myself, I mean, we went through this in those early years, can feel resentful when their husband gets to go out and, like you said, crush it.
Yeah.
While also
earn a lot of value.
Yeah. While also like getting to have lunch.
Yeah.
Like sitting and having
freedom.
Adult conversation.
Yeah.
Going to the bathroom by himself whenever he wants.
Wears a nice dressed up, you know, shirt and tie.
It's still clean, you know. And then he comes home and he's really just kicked butt, and she's done the diapers and the Play-Doh and the, you know, sleep, putting them to sleep, getting them up, feeding them, you know, the things that can, they don't feel like you're crushing it. You know, maybe you didn't get to shower, you know, maybe you didn't get to have a lunch that looked respectable or have any grown-up conversation. And so all that to say, the value, understanding the value of kids, both the mother and the father need to really be all in.
And
How
do we explain that? Like, when you don't really know, right? Like, because we're picturing our kids maybe when they're graduating from high school, or maybe when they get their license, or, you know, first bank account, first job, right? Like, that's what we picture, but we don't see it yet. So it's going to come down to faith, right? Like, we're going to have to walk by faith in this.
Yeah.
And it's just, it hits home to the personal challenge we have as believers. Right. Like, so let's just think about that for a minute. And I thought about Abraham today, how it says in Genesis 22, and I think it's verse 5. He says to the people that when they're going, when he's going to sacrifice Isaac, right? Like he's going up with his son and he goes up and he says to the men that went with him, it says, the boy and I will go over there and worship and come again to you. Like there's like this, what's the point of this? Like why would Abraham say things that way? It doesn't make sense. That's not what he's supposed to do. He's going to go worship and then come back again with his boy. Hmm. Like that wasn't the plan, you know, when God gave him this child and told him what to do with this child, right? But this was an act of faith. Abraham believed in something.
Yeah.
And he believed and trusted God. And he's like, the boy and I, we're going to go up there and worship and then we'll come back again. Hmm. And I think that's like, there's these little breakthrough moments that we hope that you would gather in your monotony, mm-hmm. in the days of not feeling the value, because God is calling us to walk by faith in this.
Yes.
And it's such a principle actually, right? Because so what we're saying is like, we're just like turning the corner out of it, right? And there's many that have, and we're saying to those who are in it,
the deep end.
In the real deep end here, yeah. Walk by faith and believe that there is a purpose for it.
Yeah.
And perhaps, like in this case with Abraham, he thought about it as worship.
Yes.
That's that. Like, okay, we're not saying I was worshiping while I was changing my diapers, okay? You know?
No.
I mean, I was glad to see them go out the door and in the trash can, but yeah. Let's think about this. Can I worship? Can I find meaning?
Yes.
Is there value? And we're saying absolutely.
Yes, that exactly. Because God gives everybody different work to do in life. And it's clear that we are to do all of it unto the Lord. And we're to do it with all our heart and with all our might. Mm. And parenting, of course, falls into that category, even when the fruit isn't obvious, even when the end result isn't clear, even when there's no applause in that moment. We walk before God as a mother and as a father. The work that we do in our home, the unseen work, is just like that prayer closet type of worship. Mm-hmm. It's like so valuable. It's so precious because it's unseen by people, because you don't get any applause. It's true sacrificial, unconditional love for a person that God's given you to care for, even though nobody sees it.
Right.
And so I remember moments where this was like spoken to me, mm-hmm. either by more experienced mothers, or even times when you've said it to me where you've reminded me mm-hmm. of the value of what I'm doing.
Yes.
I remember a specific time when my son was like, I don't know, less than one. And we were yet again putting on the shoes and taking the walk, and they walk so slow, and taking the walk to the park. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the park and I'm putting him in the swing and I'm pushing him on the swing again. How many times have we done this? I don't even know. It feels like, how many times have I done this? And then because of like my scientific mind, I'm like pushing him, you know, and he just comes right back and I push him again. And I'm like, the futility of this action, how unbelievably like futile. That's what this is. That's like what my mind is telling me. Nothing about this is moving anybody
so
forward.
Cold.
No,
so cold.
No progress. I know this is
Come
my
on,
mind.
Mom.
Welcome to my mind. And then having like the Holy Spirit, like literally correct me. And say, like, if you are doing this unto me,
yes,
it is good work. Mm. Pushing the swing, putting on the shoes, cutting up the apples, opening up another thing of Play-Doh, putting him to bed again, reading that same book again,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And so just to say that not only is it that these children are valuable to the Lord mm-hmm. because they bear the image of God and he's given them to you. I mean, they're eternal souls.
Right.
But also, we were talking about how it's good for me.
Yes.
It's good for me as a person who walks before God to have this challenge, this incredible opportunity.
Exactly. That's it. It's a breakthrough moment, right? Like there's a breakthrough where you go, wow, you ordained this for me, God. You're a smart guy. You tricky. You tricked me. How did you trick me in doing this? And he's like, he has it all mapped out.
Yep.
And he's like, I want a father's heart. I want a mother's mother's care, a mother's words, a mother's teaching and discretion. Yeah. That's what I want out of you. And sooner or later, we see that, we sense that, and that's the mind of Christ. And that's what we're encouraging you guys to do, is to dive into that, to embrace it.
Yep.
As soon as possible, and discover what's on the other side, because that ultimately is just like our faith. We came to Christ. Christ said, "Follow me." Right? He's like, "Take up your cross," and we're like, "This is foreign. This is new. This is I'm gonna forsake myself and me." And he's like, "Yes." And then here we are with kids.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say they're like little crosses, but in a way, like.
They're challenges to our flesh.
They're asking for sacrifice. They're asking for love, which are all the similar things that God is asking of us.
Yes.
So
exactly
when we walk
say.
Hand in hand, and these like moments in your mind,
I'm sure you have your own.
Oh yeah. That we would embrace them.
Yeah.
And just laugh maybe a little bit. That's a key element in this. Like, let's joke about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because isn't that the truth of it? Like, there's going to be joy in this, and there's going to be life. And those are things to just hold on to.
Yeah.
And so that means that, okay, now the value is there.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to buy in now.
Yes.
Now, like, let's talk about, like, how does this work in a practical way? The second part of this is, like, guarding this relationship and this this little unit that we have now.
Right.
This dichotomy where it's like, you know, like, it was just me and the Lord, you know, when I was in Bible school or, you know, when I was in university. And then
you
it was
had
like,
the freedom.
And I asked her to marry me.
Yeah.
Right.
And ball then I was like, chain.
Whoa, another person in this. And then it's like, whoa, and now we've multiplied.
Yes.
There's many of them. and it's like, okay, so like, we got to figure this out here. We got to figure this out. So how do we do that? We want to talk about that.
Yeah.
And one of the words that came to our mind is guard.
Yes.
To guard, guarding. Yes.
I just have to read this one meme before we move on, because it does paint the picture of why it's important to guard. I mean, it's just, and why it's hard to do that. So I just saw this. I thought that was so funny. It said, being a parent is like jumping out of a plane with a bunch of people who don't know how to open their own parachutes. So you fly around doing it for them. Then you hit the ground, but you don't die. You get up and cook dinner. Isn't that, that just captures the type of exhaustion that you can feel at these early years. Mm-hmm. And when you have that type of, I mean, the sleep deprivation is very real. Like there are scientific studies that talk about the mental and physical effects of long-term sleep deprivation. So if you have a newborn or a toddler who is not sleeping through the night, just know that it's okay that you're feeling a little bit more unstable emotionally. You're struggling to be kind to your spouse, perhaps. I have said that I have never been a more selfish version of myself than at like 3 a.m. when the baby's crying and she's done this like eight weeks in a row. It is the worst version of me. And so that's why we wanted to talk about how to guard your family and how, what does that start with so that this family unit has unity and that we are supporting each other and encouraging each other.
Yes.
Right.
So the first thing that we just were discussing amongst ourselves, through this last week was just that as it, how it starts is how it's going to finish or how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Our personal relationship with the Lord is paramount.
Yeah.
You and I, like the two, the husband and the wife, the father and the mother.
Yeah.
You mentioned prayer closet. We mentioned vertical, maybe devotional, personal time. It is paramount. It has to be guarded and kept and respected too. Like, hey, hon, like, why don't you go have an hour? Like, go take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that doing? That's the whole point of it is to help the individual, the helpmate, the other one walking along this journey and this road, and to hear from God, to receive something from God, because ultimately we're receiving. And I think as for a husband, I can only speak that, like, without that number one, first and foremost, relationship with the Lord and little pieces, like, okay, we're not like, we're hitting singles here.
I was just going
to
say
we're just trying to get to first base, you know, like.
Yeah.
It's not like we're hitting home runs and
we're
studying
for hours. We're not saying
you've
got to, like, wake up at 5 a.m. and, you know, read your Bible for an hour.
Well, I think in those early years, like, every hour of sleep counted between work and, like, but it's like, it's a podcast, right? Like,
it could listening be to something
that is warming your heart. It's listening to maybe a message. You guys didn't catch the meeting the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Wednesday night service was awesome. Like, just listen to it on your way to work. However it goes, that number one, you and the Lord, it's going to set the tone, and it's going to be the very principle that will lay the foundation as the family grows.
Yeah, because you were talking about how it really is about the source, right? Like, what are we drawing our capacity to love from?
Right.
And because we are limited, especially when we are tired and especially when we're feeling challenged and we're not feeling seen, all of these things can be happening. And so what our source is the Lord. Right. It has to be God. He has to be the one who tells me who I am. He has to be the one who tells me what my value is and what my meaning is. His words have to be what correct me. You know, like when I'm there at the swing, it's the word of God. It's my relationship with him. It's wanting to hear his voice that gives me the opportunity to turn from how I'm feeling in that situation to the truth and the reality that God can provide.
Right.
And if I have that relationship with God and then you have that relationship with God, then we have capacity, supernatural capacity to care for not only this baby, but each other.
Yes.
Right. Because the next step here is guarding your marriage.
Right.
Right. And that's something that can easily fall to the wayside in these early years.
And I like this word supernatural. It is a spiritual thing that when two walk with the Lord, when the husband and wife just do the best they can before the Lord individually, that they would come together and love each other in some way and manifest it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It is a supernatural thing that really is like to the family atmosphere, to the to the house, to the living room, to the kitchen, you know, to all the spaces of it. It's you fill it.
Yeah.
With a supernatural, or we would say spiritual, like from the Lord, a place that says, okay, God comes first, right? Like God comes first.
Yeah.
Like children don't come first.
Right.
Even my marriage doesn't come first. Like number one, I have to go to God.
Yeah.
And I receive and I take and I use, and now I pour into.
Yep.
She responds, I respond. And then, like, so remember, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's good to point out intimacy.
Yeah.
Right? So we had this thought that, like, and maybe the years before you had children, I don't know if this is relevant, but it is for us. We didn't have kids for, I think, 2 or 3 years.
3 years,
almost 3, right? So those years before where like we were cultivating the intimacy and the relationship. Yeah. And like we were figuring out how like how we walk with the Lord, walk with each other, walk on our own, like
how we deal with disagreements and all those things. Yeah.
And so intimacy was really like the foundational level of like, okay, getting to know one another, eye to eye, face to face, words and conversations, thoughts, exchanges, right? And then so that intimacy is something that you can use. That's something that you will take into having the children and parenting them. Because we were saying that it was the intimate times of our early years of marriage that we built on that intimacy for the times when there was kind of like droughts. Remember when there was like, when there was times when we couldn't see a lot of value. And I think that's an important thing to note, that intimacy with God and intimacy in our walk with God can carry us a long way in seasons where, let's just face it, I got to go to work every day. I'm exhausted. She's exhausted. You know, we're pulling it. We're burning, burning the, what is it, on both ends? Yeah, we're burning the candle on both ends, right? Yes. We're like, the wax is going to run out soon. Like, there is
well, and I will an say, like, isn't it true that when we talk about intimacy, I think if, you know, thinking about these parents right now who are in the deep end, and we remember it well, I think that was the hardest time in our marriage. And it was so fruitful also. Mm-hmm. But it was hard because the season changed where we weren't just the two of us being able to chat and go out whenever we wanted to. And our evenings were our own, our times were our own, our bodies were our own. All of these things changed when we had children. And, it's just very normal for there to be a transition period in your marriage, in your relationship with each other, when you are introducing this completely new dynamic. And so just first of all, to call that out and just recognize that it is a hard time for marriages. And that's all the more reason why you need to guard it and don't let it fall to the wayside and think that this baby is more important than our marriage. Mm. How backwards is that?
Yes.
Because what that baby needs is a mom and a dad who love each other for many years to come.
They need, mom and dad need to have that intimacy and that relationship with the Lord and with each other that will carry.
It carries you through.
It does. It provides and like really like the desert being the table prepared there. Like it really is that picture in the, you know, living room, right?
What kills intimacy? Well, there's a lot of things, but one that came to my mind was lack of communication. Mm. So first of all, sleep deprivation, that'll kill intimacy, but that's not what we're talking about. And we're not talking about sex life right now, but that is affected. But what we're talking about, when I think about communication, there were there were seasons when I felt that I couldn't really tell you how I was feeling because I shouldn't be feeling this way.
Right.
So there's like that guilt that I should be happy. I should feel completely fulfilled in this role as a mother. And I don't want to say out loud that I don't feel that way. Or I don't want to say out loud that I resent you for the success you have at work while I'm over here, you know, just making it. And then you might, as you know, as the husband, you might feel, all types of ways and not feel like you can communicate it to me. So I would say the killer, when it comes to intimacy is feeling that you can't communicate when the lines of communication aren't open. And that could be for so many different reasons that we can't get into right now,
but communication
that's just something
would
to
cause,
be aware of
and also cause the communication would cause a breakthrough in understanding what has stopped with the intimacy and what has stopped with, like what seemingly was something warm and like
like we were in this
lively,
together,
and then like suddenly like we're on different teams here.
Mm.
And actually, you know, just to say one last thing about that is that when we explain that to our spouses, I think it's so important to realize like you're helping the other person see the other side.
Yes.
Right? Like as a father, I didn't really get how difficult it was early on. Like that what mom was doing or my wife was doing was like she was doing something so important and she needed to hear it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until she told me that she was like, I'm in the dumps right now.
Yeah.
And then and it's difficult and I'm struggling. And then I was just like, wait a minute. I realized I didn't tell her. And maybe that's something we need to do is like, say the things that need to be said.
Yes.
So that we can in return reinforce the truth.
Yeah. Because
reinforce
that,
the value.
What we talked about, the value, that needs to be something that the married couple, when the child can't be saying, everything you're doing for me is very valuable. Right. Thank you so
Thumbs
much. It's going to pay off in the long run. Keep it up, Mom.
Right.
You know, they're not saying that. So no. who's going
to
say that?
It has to be us.
We have to be each other's reminders. We have to be, we're guarding each other's roles. I have to say to my husband, the role you have as a father is so important. Mm. And what you're doing at work, working hard and providing and coming home with love and energy to play with your kids, it's so appreciated. Mm. It's so important.
Yes.
And then you saying to me, the work you're doing,
yes.
all of these things at home that nobody sees, like it's so valuable. Thank you for doing yes. it. You're the mother of my children. It's amazing. I remember the times you said it to me, and I would hold on to that in those quiet, lonely hours when I was at home, and they were so life-giving. They were so encouraging.
Right. And like, so we got to guard this, and it starts with sing like our own walk.
Yep.
Then with each other.
Yeah.
And it comes under attack, and don't like guys, don't, we're not here to condemn. We're here to encourage.
Yeah. We've been through it all. We're not like,
and you can
heroes.
Go to anyone else, find people in your local church, people that you know, you can talk to about these things. They can give you similar stories, how they found these breakthroughs and moments of communication, because ultimately, and we're seeing this cause we're right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
As our kids are growing, we're seeing this sequence like play out today. Yeah. Receive, have that relationship of intimacy with Christ and with each other.
Yeah.
And then we're able to love them.
Yeah.
Like with the right frequencies and the right measures.
Mm.
And now it's like, okay, now we're like, this is the good type of monotony.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is the good, like, start and repeat.
Yeah.
And these are good
healthy
rhythms that are like going to create these capacities and the healthy home atmospheres. And like, we're seeing it, like we've experienced it, and maybe you have too. So, stick
and by
with
the way,
it.
The deep end does end. You know, so let's just
you start
going
to that
there.
Like 4 foot.
Yeah.
Where
you're like, oh,
like
my toes can feel something. I can feel the ground. And then you're standing. So, and I think this is a good segue into this last, I don't know if it's a warning, but it's just another encouragement, which is that the early years, I think more so than any other years in parenting, are the most isolating. Mm. They can be the most lonely times. Again, of course, I'm looking at this more from the mother's perspective if you're staying at home with a young child. But I think it speaks to fathers also that in those early years, that's the time when isolation happens because it feels safe. It feels you want predictable, you want comfortable. Those are the things that you're craving when everything is new and scary with a newborn. So it's very natural that we would want to just kind of hunker down and just, you know, just stay at home, stay isolated.
Post up.
Yeah, post up. And, but at the same time, like we said, it's these early years that are really setting the tone and the mission of your family for the years to come.
Wow, that's...
And the routines and the habits that you start in these years are going to continue and develop in the next season of parenting. Mm. And so for us, at least, I have seen that when I'm isolated, I am more likely to be in this negative mindset about the value of what I'm doing. I'm more likely to be discouraged. I'm more likely to be discontent and resentful.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just like a loving, gracious
word
of warning, really, or encouragement, however you want to see it, that isolation is not something to get comfortable with.
Yes.
It is something to actively work
out of.
Work yourself out of.
Right. Yeah. Because we've talked about isolation before in a couple of different segments, but just isolation in itself, when it comes to the, like, spiritually speaking, it's a quiet place. It's a place where I receive a time of just me and the Lord, you and the Lord. It's a time of reflection, meditation. However, isolation outside of that, like maybe seeing people, being somewhere, taking part in that. Like, I just think about the simple times of having, when we first had kids, how I needed to take a walk.
Yeah.
Like, I had to take a walk, and I remember just being like, okay, the walk was good, but what am I going to do next time? And then I started listening to things next time, the next walk I did. And I would do walks because I knew that my kids would fall asleep.
And it gave me a break.
Gave you a break.
Yep.
And it gave me a little exercise. I was like pushing that stroller around.
Yep.
And then I remember just like, I'm just going to start listening to the Gospels. Let's just start with Matthew. Let's go. Hit the play button. Walk around the neighborhood, go to the park, go to the swings. But it was that little practice of like, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to like get this child dressed. Like it's kind of like a chore in a way. It's like, oh, this is an effort.
And the,
open up the stroller and like, I got to go do this. But it was setting a tone for like
giving for you,
for the activity of this child, right? Like that's another thing. You're holding on to this baby going like, when's it going to walk? Like, wait, I remember, you know, parents tell us like, you will wish that it couldn't walk for maybe a little longer than you hope.
we had early walkers all around,
you know, they climb upstairs and stuff, but it was setting the tone and getting me ready to handle what was this amazing person.
Yeah.
And that activity was like, I was ready for it. We were like, let's do it again. And how much do we see this today with your younger children that you are ready to be active because you were?
Yes.
And so I think that also like plays a part into our spiritual life. I think one little thing that we noticed was that it doesn't matter, different people, different folks, going out to church was like, It was like a whole new test,
a
whole new challenge.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, and some churches, you know, once a week, twice a week, some churches three times a week. It was like, or just wanting to be a part of things that you were before you had kids. So the reality was, it was like, how much can I do? Each person has their capacity. And then, but then being tested to like even just do it once a week, it was like, wow, like I made it to church.
Well, and there's also, again, this sense of like futility, like, oh, I got everything together. I got the bottles and I got the diapers and we get into the car seat and we go to the church and, and then the baby cries the whole time. I didn't hear any of the message. And then
I'm in
the
nurse,
put the baby
in like
the
I'm
thing,
in the nurse
and you're back at the house and the, you know, and it's like, why did I just do that? And it is important to know why you just did that. Like, because it has incredible value that you are continuing in a routine and a rhythm and you're fighting against, the desire to just stay kind of like, I know it sounds like mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but like we want to stay safe and comfortable. And that's what isolation can often be when you've got a baby.
Right.
But even if you don't get to mingle with everybody the way you wanted to, or you don't get to hear the message that you wanted to, there was so much benefit in doing that.
And then as they get a little older, they start going to like a Sunday school program, right? Like they're like beginning to learn the teacher's names and, you know, those amazing moms and parents that are like
that
putting
exposure is so good.
And it's like, it's setting the stage. It's setting the tone for what is coming, more to come. It's showing your kids that they're part of something larger, something eternal. Like, whoa, this is like outside the door. Like when that kid walks out the door, he's like, look at the yard.
That's a really big one.
It's so much bigger than that, buddy. And I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
And it's that practice that's setting a tone that is like so life-giving, right?
Yeah.
And it's going against the, I think what would be maybe something that is not as healthy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with staying at home and like resting and,
of course, those things, we have balance there.
But
absolutely.
I think also in our spiritual life, mom and dad need this.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just grabbing a cup of coffee.
Yeah. And can I just say, this is the other thing that, and we have to wrap up, I know, but one really great thing that I learned in the early years of having kids, as somebody who I did want to be involved in ministry, I wanted to be active in my church, but my kids had bedtimes. It was not as easy. I can't go to that, you know, going out to meet with people wherever they were meeting.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we made a shift in was opening our home.
Mm.
And this was something that we hadn't really done that much before, but hospitality and learning that if I want to be in the mix with people, yeah, I can bring them into my home.
Hey, let's do a prayer meeting at my house.
I can put my kid to bed, right, and keep our routines and all those things, but still have life that's going to encourage me. And that was a huge change in our life that I think would benefit anybody. So we do have to wrap up. We had some little tips. We can't go through all of them, but I'll just read through them really fast before we close out. These are things that are just, you can take them or leave them. They're things that worked for us as the Robbins family. We know everybody's different, so that disclaimer's out there. But the first one was finding great biblical, like scripture-based music that isn't annoying to you, that your kids can listen to.
Worship.
We have a couple recommendations, couple albums we really like. Rend Collective has a kids album called Rendco Kids that is excellent and really fun. Shane and Shane have an album called Sing the Word, which is really just that, and it's excellent. And then Ellie Holcomb has a great kids album too called Sing that we really love. The other one is the Jesus Storybook Bible. If you don't have a copy of this and you're not reading this to your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old,
gold,
it is amazing. It tells the story of Christ throughout the Bible. Another one is, as much as possible, we just encourage you to have a good, short, and firm bedtime routine. And I will say no more than that. We will just move on.
God bless you.
Another one is reading a chapter of Proverbs a day. Even when your kid is little, this is something every mom or dad can do. It's very manageable. There's a chapter for every day of the month. And it just instills concepts like sowing and reaping, the wise versus the fool, pride versus humility, the power of the tongue, importance of sharing and caring and serving. These are all things your kids need.
The last one
is just embrace the truth that every family is unique. Every family is different. You do not need to compare. Do not fall into the trap of comparison. God's given you your child. Mm. Each one is unique and wonderfully made. And just enjoy the fact that your family gets to decide how you do life. You have your boundaries and your rules, and they don't have to look like other people's. And you don't have to feel bad about that. You don't have to judge other people, but you also don't have to feel guilty about your own. We often have sayings like, in the Robbins family, we do this, or blank, we don't do this. And that is something we are unapologetic about, because our family is given to us by God. Our kids are given to us by God to steward. And comparison is such a trap, and it's not from the Lord. So those are just a couple tips right at the end, but we really hope this was encouraging to all of you who are in the deep end. Thank you so much for joining us. This week's going to be great. A lot of different topics around parenting that are going to be discussed. So don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and more. And tune in tomorrow. So thanks for being here.